That is such a great song, and if you haven't already closed your songbook, maybe you have. I'm going to use that song as an example here in just a moment. There in verse 2 is exactly a reinforcement of one of the points that I want to make tonight as we take a look at what Jesus said about the truth in John chapter 8, and that the truth will make us free. As I already mentioned this morning, as a precursor to the lesson tonight, I remember as a kid sitting in the pews going to church and having preachers talk about obeying the truth. If you'll obey the truth will make you free. And I thought, well, that's a great text. That's really good. Free from what? And it was yet then I came to a better understanding of life and the scriptures and spiritual values. And I learned some things, therefore, that's what the scriptures will set us free from. And so I want to take just a brief look tonight at this particular text here in John 8 that Greg read for us. God only knows the men and women who have been unjustly imprisoned and would be set free if only somehow the truth would be known. And that's what we want in our society. We don't want someone to unjustly have to suffer for a crime they did not commit. And if there are any that are incarcerated today, and unrightfully so, and if the truth would only be known and be set free, we would want them to be set free. And yet today there are many who are living in a spiritual prison, the prison of sin, the prison of fear, the prison of ignorance, and the prison of anarchy, that need to be set free. And there's one way they can be set free from these four things, and that is to know the truth. The main point that I want to make tonight, and if you don't get anything else out of the lesson, and I hope you don't quit listening after I say this, but the main point that I want to make out of the lesson tonight is that when Jesus said the truth will make you free, is the fact is that when we look at God's Word, the truth therein, that it will set us free from anything and everything that would hold us in spiritual bondage. Jesus wants us to be all that we can be as human beings. He came and gave us the perfect example of His life. He taught us. He worked miracles. He healed the sick, raised the dead, had the lame walk, the deaf to hear, etc., etc., because He wanted people to live fabulous lives, happy lives, productive lives, to be all that we can be as human beings. And one of the ways that we can reach our potential, no matter what talents you have that might differ from somebody else, is to know what the Bible says and to live what the Bible says. Because Jesus said, if you know the truth, that truth can set you free. We all have various problems, and of course the four that you see listed on the screen behind me are by no means exhaustive, but as we go through and talk about these four, what I want you to do is make the application to your life. You might say, well, in my life I've got this fear, or I've got this problem, or I've got this setback, or this handicap, whatever it might be, and realize that the Bible and God and Jesus have an answer for you. That if you'll look hard enough and long enough into the Word of God, that can set you free from whatever bondage that the devil may be choosing to hold you in. All right, let's take a look then. And the first point is that the truth will set us free from sin and death. In our scripture reading there in verse 34, Jesus said, "Truly, truly, I say to you, everyone who commits sin is a slave of sin." Paul would echo that particular sentiment there in Romans chapter 7. You remember the passage well. I quoted from time to time where he said, "The good that I want to do, I don't do, and the sin that I don't want to do, that I do." And he was just caught up into this sinful pre-Christian era, if you will, of his life. And he says, "I know what I'm supposed to be doing, and that's the very thing I don't do. And worse than that, the things that I know I shouldn't do, i.e. sinful things, are the very things that I do." And he was just in a mess. He called himself a wretched person. And the scholars tell me that in that particular context there, that word wretched means someone who's groping and clawing and trying to the best of their ability to rescue themselves, to get over the hump, to conquer a problem, and they just can't do it. As they continue to climb and claw through life, they end up actually getting more behind than ahead of the game. And so he says, wretched man that I am, I can't free myself from these sinful tendencies. Who will rescue me? Well, and the wonderful answer that he gives there in Romans 7:25 is, thanks be to God who gives us the victory over our wretchedness, over our slavery to sin, through Jesus Christ our Lord. Then he goes right into Romans 8 verse 1 and he says, for now there is no condemnation for those who are in Christ Jesus. Oh my, what a statement. When you read the latter part of Romans 7 and then move into Romans 8:1 just hits you like a ton of bricks, because you see what leads up to that. And surely here, Jesus in John chapter 8 and verse 35 says that anyone who is out there in sin is a slave to sin. And truly, we want to break that slavery. We want to be free from that slavery. Turn in your Bibles over to Romans chapter 6 for a minute. I want to take a look at verses 12 through 14. Romans 6, verses 12 through 14. Because when we know the truth can set us free from the bondage of sin and death. We'll be obedient to Jesus Christ. We'll be washed in His blood, as we're going to see here in just a minute out of Revelation 1:5, and we can be free from the bondage of sin and the bondage of death. But first here, Romans chapter 6, beginning in verse 12. Paul says, therefore, do not let sin reign in your mortal body, that you should obey its lusts. And do not go on presenting the members of your body to sin as instruments of righteousness, but present yourselves to God as those who are alive from the dead, and your members as instruments of righteousness to God. For sin shall not have mastery over you, for you are not under the law, but under grace. He says, why is it that we can stop our sinful ways? Why is it we can stop presenting our bodies as instruments of unrighteousness and begin presenting our bodies as instruments of righteousness? It's right there, because sin will no longer have mastery over us. Now, does that mean we're never going to be tempted again? No, doesn't mean that at all. Does it mean that we'll never struggle with sin again? No, it doesn't mean that at all. But it means sin will not have mastery. It need not be in control. And that's the truth that Jesus wants us to know. That's the truth that can set us free. That truly, we have a new master, and that's Jesus Christ. We have a new master, and that is the truth of God. And that truth will set us free from the mastery of sin. Over in Revelation chapter 1 and verse 5, there's a little phrase there that I think is just so neat. And I put it in this particular spot in the lesson. Because when you become a Christian, it is, again, that bondage and that mastery is now over, all right? And it's time to have a new lease on life. And I like what John says here in Revelation 1:5, when he says, and from Jesus Christ, the faithful witness, the firstborn of the dead, and the ruler of the kings of the earth, to him who loves us and has released us from our sins by his blood. I think some translations there actually use the word loosed. And if I understand the Greek there, that's the idea, that he's loosed us. It's like we've been bound up, we've been locked up, we have been tied up in sin, and it has mastery over us. But because of the power of Jesus' blood, it has loosed us. It has released us from that bondage, from that particular bondage. It's been holding us back from being all that we can be. Jesus said, you'll know the truth, and the truth will set you free. It will loose you from your sins. And so now you can look there, as you see at the bottom of the screen, Ephesians chapter 2 and verse 10, where we are now His workmanship, created in Christ Jesus for good works. See, everything's changed. You've obeyed the truth. You've come to a knowledge of the truth. Jesus has loosed you from your sins. And now you've been created, shall I say, been recreated in Christ Jesus for good works. You now have a new master, Jesus Christ. You've obeyed that truth, and the truth has set you free. Point number two tonight is we have freedom from fear. Freedom from fear. You know, some fears are good. I wouldn't want to say that all fears are bad. I think it's good to have a fear of falling. I think it's good to have a fear of fire, a fear of chemicals, a fear of electricity, even a fear of heights to some extent is very good, because we realize the dangers that are inherent in all those things I just talked about, that someone can get hurt or even be killed because of an improper use in those areas. And so some fear is very good, to have a healthy fear of electricity or heights or the fear of falling. All of this is protective in some ways. But sometimes fear goes beyond what it should. And fear becomes something that's not healthy in those areas, but something that's very paralyzing. Again, it keeps us from being all that we can be. We're afraid of way too many things, and that fear keeps us from truly branching out and reaching out and reaching our potential as a human being. You know, when you're really scared, sometimes you're just scared out of your mind. That's what you are. You're just frozen. You're paralyzed. Have you ever seen one of those horror movies, or maybe you like horror movies, and you like that feeling of just that rush that comes from being scared? The few times in life that I've truly been scared, it's been a paralyzing fear. I can't do anything. I'm too scared to even run away from the fear. And again, that's what I'm talking about spiritually. Sometimes our fears, the fear of failure, the fear of being rejected, the fear of not doing a good job and being unpleasing to others, these kinds of fears keep us from doing and being what God wants us to be. How do you overcome fear? Well, one of the very simple answers, and again, it's not exhaustive, but one of the simple answers is a greater faith. And it's a belief in the truth. Because what you know can't hurt you. And so when you know what you need to know, there's no longer to be any reason to be afraid. I don't need to be afraid of things that I know about. I don't need to be afraid of things that I have an understanding of. I can use them to all of their ability and my ability. And truly, when we have that kind of faith, that kind of trust, that kind of knowledge in the truth of God, it becomes an increasing element of our faith, and we need longer have to fear. In John chapter 14, in verse 1, you know it very well. Jesus said, "Let not your heart be troubled or fearful," he says there. "Believe in God, believe also in me." If I skip down there to chapter 14 of John, in verse 27, Jesus said, "Peace I leave with you. My peace I give you. Not as the world gives do I give to you. Let not your heart be troubled, nor let it be fearful." Jesus wants us to overcome our fears that keep us from being all that we can be. He says, "I want to give you peace. I want to give you comfort. I want to give you faith. I want to give you a kind of trust in me and my Father that allows your heart not to fear." Jesus said, "When you know the truth, the truth will set you free." And truly, we can have that kind of faithfulness, that kind of courage, when we know the truth. In Philippians chapter 4 and verse 7, Paul said, "The peace of God, which surpasses all comprehension, will guard your hearts and minds in Christ Jesus." I can't really leave this particular subject without talking once again about the healthy fear that we should have. Because I don't want to dismiss fear totally in its proper context. Because in Ecclesiastes chapter 12 and verse 13, when Solomon had said it all and did it all, he said the conclusion of the matter is that we should fear God and keep His commandments, because this is the whole duty of man. Of course, this is one of those healthy fears. This is one of these good fears that means respect and reverence and awe. That's how we fear God. In 1 John chapter 4 and verse 18, John said it this way, "There is no fear in love, but perfect love casts out fear, because fear involves punishment, and the one who fears is not perfected in love." Truly, when John's talking here, he says, hey, when we learn to love God, love His Word supremely, there will be no reason to fear. We'll understand God's will for our lives. We'll understand what He expects of us and what we need to do to be pleasing to Him and to be faithful. And when we've got all of that in our corner because we understand the truth, that truth will set us free. Free from the fears that will keep us from being what God wants us to be. Point number 3 tonight is, of course, that knowing the truth will free us from ignorance. I spoke not too long ago about the Word of God and knowing the Word of God and the problem of ignorance. And I won't go revisit that entire lesson, but ignorance is a nasty, nasty problem. What we don't know, again, can hurt us. And truly, we need to know all that we can about the Word of God, what He expects of us. And when we know that, then we can go about our everyday lives with great confidence and with great faithfulness. You know, I have here on the screen three very simple things that to me are just so foundational that we need to know. But guess what? The Bible tells us about these things. The Bible tells us how we should pray. The Bible tells us how to treat other people. The Bible tells us how we can go to heaven, how to find eternal life. You know what? There's a lot of people out there in the world, good people, sincere people, and they don't know how to do these three things. Their ignorance is keeping them from being what God wants them to be. One of our tasks, one of our obligations as Christians is to preach the Word. And one of the things that we can talk about is, hey, do you want help with your prayer life? Do you want help with your relationships? Do you want to know how to go to heaven? Truly, the truth of God can answer and does answer every one of those questions. We can know exactly how to pray and what to pray. We can know how to treat one another in our relationships as husband and wife, as parents and children, as workmates in the workplace, as brothers and sisters in Christ. No matter the relationship, it's talked about in the Word of God. The truth can set us free. If we've got a problem in our relationships, we need to know more of the Word of God. And it can set us free to help us to handle that as best that we can. And oh yes, the truth. So many people today are ignorant of the truth when it comes to God's Word and what it really says. There's people out there who believe the Bible is the Word of God. That's not the issue necessarily or the problem. The problem is they don't know what the Bible really says. And that doesn't mean the Bible is some big secret. It's not some big mystery. They're just ignorant of it. They have not spent time in learning it and knowing what is demanded of them. We need to be people of the truth and share that truth so that we can be free and they can be free. Let us not be guilty of being ignorant of what the Bible has to say. We become fools when we profess to be wise without the Bible. That's Romans 1:23. Oh, we may think we've got the smarts when it comes to electronics and medicine and all these other fields, and yes, we've made great gains, but we profess ourselves to be wise and do not know the truth of God, we become very, very foolish. Freedom from ignorance comes from knowing the truth, because the truth will set you free. Finally tonight, in our last point, the Bible and Jesus, when He said the truth will make you free, is freedom from anarchy. One of the problems in our world today is pluralism. And pluralism is a big term that I just want to very simply define that says you go your way and you go your way and that third person could go their way and that's okay. You just go the way that seems right to you and that's all right. Truly today our society is watered down and trying to discard the idea of a supreme standard, one standard for everyone. And you know what that leads to? It leads to a problem that was experienced back in the days of the judges. Because there was anarchy in the days of the judges, and the reason was that everybody did what was right in their own eyes. Sadly, I think our society is moving in that same direction today. You try to tell people that there's one way to live, that there's one body of truth, that there's one way that leads to heaven, and they will disagree. They say, well, no, this person's got this way, and then there's another way, and this person believes over there. And that's that lie of the devil called pluralism that says everybody can find their own route or their own way. And, of course, Jesus said, I am the way. Not one of the ways, not a good way, not a better way. I am the way. When we learn the truth of God, we'll learn that one way that leads to heaven. We'll realize that it's not about everybody doing their own thing. That leads to anarchy, spiritual anarchy. But rather, when we come to know the truth will set us free, even from that kind of anarchy. We'll be solid in our faith. We'll know exactly where we came from, who we are, and where we're going. And why do we know the answers to all those questions? We know the truth. And the truth has set us free. Truly, God has given us a set of principles that we might enhance our lives. You know, it's amazing today how that we can sing about the Bible. That, you know, how many times do we sing about the penal code of the state of Illinois, you know? Have we set that thing to music just recently? Is anybody really excited about that? No, not at all. I don't know anybody does that. But you know what? We've got the Word of God. We set this thing to music. It is so beautiful. It is so wonderful. It sets us free and allows us to be all that we can be. We sing about it. And tonight, here in number 450 that we sang before we got started, give me the Bible. We're singing about this set of rules, if you will, this set of doctrine, singing about the truth, because it's this truth that sets us free. You know, I kind of skipped over it here, but point number two was about freedom from fear. We sang about that tonight in verse 2 out of this song. It says, give me the Bible when my heart is broken, when sin and grief have filled my soul with fear. Give me the precious words by Jesus spoken. Hold up faith's lamp to show my Savior near. Give me the Bible, holy message shining. Thy light shall guide me in the narrow way, precept and promise, law and love combining, till night shall vanish in eternal day. That's the idea of why we love the truth. The truth sets us free. The truth allows us to be all that we can be as people and sets us free from everything that would tear us down and keep us in the bondage of sin. Oh, to know this book. Oh, to know the truth of God and allow it to work in our lives and to find the freedom that's found therein. Well, as we bring it to a close tonight, maybe one of these four didn't necessarily touch on a problem in your life, but I'm here to tell you the Word of God will touch on whatever problem you have in your life. And truly, the Word of God sets us free from the tyranny of sin and death, sets us free from the paralyzing fears that keep us from growing and maturing. Sets us free from the ignorance that keeps us from knowing what God wants us to know so we can be what God wants us to be. And sets us free from godless anarchy where everyone does what's right in their own eyes. Instead of that, let's do what's right in God's eyes. And we'll be set free. Free to be what He wants us to be. We extend heaven's invitation tonight. God has selected an invitation song to encourage those who need to respond and give their life to God. Would you come now while we stand and while we sing?